Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman, and Empower Radio, just as the name implies, is about empowering individuals. And Earth Wisdom Circles, the name of the show, is about just that, the wisdom of our Earth, the circles that we need to be in, and how do we use wisdom? Well, my next guest embodies all of that. An empowered woman who really knows how to step into her own, and I love the term that she uses, her own DNA, her career DNA. My guest today is Lisa Mercurio, who is just a human phenomenon, and I just love her. She is responsible for so many things. She is a concert pianist. She is a classical musician. She is responsible for helping to launch the careers of Josh Groban, Andrea Bocelli, and the three tenors. She has been in the tech world. She's been a civic activist and is constantly reinventing herself. So welcome to the show, Lisa.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Oh, Lisa, how do I begin asking you? Tell me about this. There's so many things. I wish I had a week to talk to you about all of this stuff. But Lisa, tell me about you had the opportunity, as you shared with me, to be a speaker at the Global Women Summit. And you spoke about the power of self-reinvention. That is so important. Can you share what you mean by that? And how you personally have reinvented yourself time and time again?
I would love to. It's something that I'm thinking a lot about these days because for me, it has to do with almost my whole entire path. It's certainly not on the straight and narrow. I always say to people, wow, look at the opportunities that I've had and look at what my path really looks like. And, if I look down into the trenches of, my very beginnings and what I would consider to be a kind of calling, which is that of a musician, lucky enough to have that as an internal calling, but never something that I felt essential to be, the way I would necessarily make a living, right? It's just the kind of operational skill set that lives within me. And then if I look at the career path that as you stated, took me into be a senior executive at, one of the biggest global enterprises, Universal Music, and then the entrepreneurship that I did using music in the tech space, and then taking all those skill sets into civic activism. One needs to look inside yourself and make some determinations on, what suits me at this particular moment in my life, what's really important here. And I find that it's essential on this planet for us to really constantly be reinventing ourselves. Now, there's this notion that, men eventually catch up to women. That women are way out in front, that we're more evolved than men, and that eventually men catch up. But my point on that is really that only happens if women stop evolving. And I think that to think that women stop evolving, or if women allow themselves to stop evolving, is where the catch is, right? Because we're tasked with so many different points in our lives, whether it's raising family, that looking within the path of what the career is or what the calling is can become even more challenging for women and for men, right? It's you can't ever stop evolving. The only gift we have is the power to constantly evolve and self-reinvent.
That's right.
So, if you call it one thing or the other, right? You want to have your internal power is the one that allows you to constantly evolve based on the needs of your circumstances and the needs of the globe, of the planet, and all that we're facing, I think, as a collective. I love to turn to some really interesting examples of that. In the entertainment field, we always looked towards somebody, the paradigm of Madonna, right?
Yes.
From one album to the next, you know, here she was always kind of reinventing and saying, you know what? You got to look at me now. You got to pay attention to me now. You got to hear me now. And I think that that's a kind of, you know, calling that's essential to everyone, you know, to look inside the self and try to derive, you know, really where that next, you could call it next act, you could call it next movement or next notion, next conceptualization is going to come from.
One of the things that I think is so interesting, Lisa, as a musician, I think that mm-hmm. you have the inherent understanding that it's about creating. Music is about creating. And I, although I'm not a musician, I was a graphic artist, and a visual artist myself. Mm-hmm. So I can understand, you know, when you're creating something, you're bringing, for lack of a better way to say it, mixed media, things that seem mm-hmm. discordant and out of harmony into harmony. So I think mm-hmm. that as your baseline of who you are is so powerful. When we understand that, you know, we're here to change, we're here to be creative, we're here to grow and to meet the needs that are present in front of us at the moment.
Absolutely. I think that is very well said, Elaine. I mean, the nature of bringing things into harmony, if you will, which is a desirable spot for nature, and accepting when it isn't in harmony
yes.
is also critical in music, right? That's where those are actually where the powerful moments come for transition in music and in life, right? If we look at where things are so out of harmony in our world, it's those moments that cause this great dissonance and potentially turbulence, which can be painful, can also lead to the moments that we appreciate the most and are most powerful.
Exactly.
So,
and when we
yeah.
have that static element that focuses us on the opposites, you know, the light and the dark, mm-hmm. the good and the bad, the healthy, the unhealthy, that's where we make the shift. That's where we make the change.
That's exactly right. That's where we make the shift. That's where we have to really to grab and harness that power and not suffocate under the weight of it, and instead say, okay, this is a moment where we have to kind of gather together and really legitimately make the shift. And I think that, you know, whether it's spiritually or whether we're looking from a historical perspective on times of great strife, and those are the moments where unification can happen. And we come out of the darkness into the light. And I think that the history books are written with that, you know, in mind. So I think that, you know, we have to learn how to really harness those different kinds of energies, whether they're inside ourselves or in our external world.
So, Lisa, you coined the term career DNA. What do you mean by mm-hmm. that? And I love the analogy of the double helix, and it's not a straight line. It's a spiraling. It's a interweaving.
It's so true. So at the Global Women's Summit last year, I had this wonderful woman by the name of Mimi Bergman who asked me to speak, and she said, "Hey, you know what? You can speak about anything that you want to speak about." And you know, given my background and given, you know, all those possibilities, I really gave it some thought, because you know, it was just a rare opportunity to come together with so many different kinds of women from disparate backgrounds, that all who have important things to say. But this idea of a career DNA came to me when you really look at the double helix of life, right? The things that take you, I see it kind of winding up and winding down at the same time, this where you can make a turn around a corner and then have this responsibility on some levels to make a turn around the next corner. Mm-hmm. This idea of the double helix, right? Of with the path of your life coming, you know, up or down, you have to have a sense of what is the force that binds me from top to bottom, that defines where my motivation comes from. I look at myself and I obviously see that music has been the force that has really pretty much defined a great deal of my life. But there's also another force in there, and that is mission driven, right? So, you know, music may be the force that binds, but there's also the desire for relevancy and to be mission driven, to make change. And you hear that a lot from people. It certainly doesn't define everyone. But, you know, this idea of, you know, looking inside yourself, it can be hard for people to really understand what their career DNA is. I had a fantastic conversation on the run. I'm a marathon runner with one of my dearest friends. And she said, you know, I read that book, What Color Is My Parachute? It didn't work for me. Why is that? Mm-hmm. Right? Why is it that didn't work for me? And I said, I believe it's because on some level, that book asks you to stay in one place. Mm. It says, okay, you know, you have one career, one parachute. And I'm saying, no, you don't. Right. You have the power to self-reinvent. If you look at, you know, your career DNA and you try to define what is the nugget here that's pushing me forward.
Well, the thing that I think that is so pivotal and very important about what you're speaking about, Lisa, and again my guest is Lisa Mercurio, and it is how do we look at our life DNA? How do we look at all of the mm-hmm. things that we have happening? You know, so many people are career oriented and they can label themselves rightly or wrongly by what that is, but we need to look globally at our humanity. How do we change how we have perceived ourselves as human beings, as individuals, and as community members, and as one species, and reinvent? Yeah. What does that mean to work collaboratively like our own DNA does? It's not fighting
right.
itself. It is working very deliberately to move life forward and maintain life from this generation and backwards and forwards, that we carry that same DNA.
That is such a brilliant statement, Elaine. It really is. I mean, that is really true. I mean, you know, like it or not, DNA is working in a very deliberate way,
yes.
right? To evolve the species, whether it's, you know, through the architecture of ourselves, right? And the architecture of the world that we're inhabiting, to adapt, and, you know, how we work collaboratively and how we meet the challenges that that humanity will continue to face in a much greater way is something that we have to pay attention to. There's no question about that. So I think it's a critical moment to look at, you know, yes, there is a career path DNA and there is a life DNA. There's no question about it. And it's definitely putting its demands at all of us at this moment.
Yes. And the term mission driven, you know, that can mm-hmm. make people be really open or freeze them in place if they think, you know, mm-hmm. how do I drive when I don't have a car? Or how do I drive when I don't have mobility? I mean, there's so many layers and layers and layers of things. But I think what's so phenomenal that you so beautifully illustrate with, and I'm not saying that your life has been easy, but you've moved through it. And, you know, what we need to do is we need to move through it. No one's life is easy, but we move through it. And how do you see, Lisa, your how do you see that you have been able to illustrate for other women, particularly being able to have the opportunity to speak at the Global Summit, Global Women's Summit, to show mm-hmm. you have this within you, too? How do you help people understand how to change what it means to be a woman in this world?
I think that, I mean, it's a great question. How can a woman who is challenged in ways that we can't imagine, right? We really can't imagine. How do you inspire her to continue to move forward with hope, right?
Yes. Yes.
Where with and love still in the front view. Look, there's no question that there are many people that face things on a daily basis that neither one of us can possibly imagine, right?
Exactly.
And yet they move, right? They move through their lives with grace that we can only stand in awe of,
exactly.
right? I think about this movie that I saw recently on a plane about a woman who's capturing honey, a beekeeper, right, I think in Croatia, in a really impoverished area, and how just gathering up the sweet honey of bees is sustaining her and her mother. Mm. And she never loses sight of the fact that, you know, she's out there. She's living literally in the equivalent of a stone hut. And yet when she goes into market to sell her honey, she finds a way to find hair color, right? And she says, even I have to try to look a little better.
Mm.
I mean, so I think that, you know, the essence of who we are as human beings sometimes is tasked in, you know, in extraordinary ways. But the desire through love and gratitude for what we have and being able to step outside and look past certain things in order to, again, harness the ability to move forward and you know, redefine in the moment what's going to make the difference in order to prevail. So, yes, mission-driven, it definitely does describe me in so far as, you know, here I am in this moment in life, and I would say it's middle life, but very much looking toward the light of, you know, how to push forward and be relevant in a world that is making demands on all of us, like it or not.
Well, we're here to listen to those demands, first of all, from ourselves. What do we need in terms of dignity? And then what do we need to learn to work collaboratively together? And so I'm thinking about, you know, all the amazing things that you have been privileged to do and you've stepped out there to do, that so many people know of your work without knowing of you. You know, what's truly, I mean, my gosh, everybody and their brothers listen to Josh Groban or Andrea Bocelli and all of those mm-hmm. things. And you're the beautiful, the name escapes me and I'm trying to find the word for the bed beats or bedtime beats.
Oh, bedtime beats.
Bedtime
right.
beats.
So, okay, so right. Look at these things. This is music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you, in the path of music, you can make the decisions to be the creator of it or the person who is going to be bringing music to the world, right? And so there are a lot of different ways that one can go about doing that. But you know what? At that point, you're legitimately changing the sound of the planet in many ways, because you're bringing something that makes people feel joy, making people feel love, making people feel just feel in general, if you're making their life better. And the implication with obviously music like the three tenors, which is, you know, so obviously bringing the power of classical music forward with three of the greatest voices that ever existed.
And collaboration.
Sorry. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, look, at the time that project happened, Elaine, I've got to tell you, I was sitting as director of communications for Decca Records, and I was charged with calling the New York Times. And, you know, in hindsight, here I was calling the New York Times and saying, hey, the three tenors are going to sing together for the very first time. And it wasn't really, they weren't considered friends. Trust me, these guys were not considered friends. They were legitimate colleagues, but they were all competitive in the marketplace. And it's always king of the high seas. You know, who's gonna reign above all of them?
Right.
And then deputy editor of the Times was a gentleman by the name of Jerry Gold. And I called Jerry and I said, hey, you know, the three tenors are going to get together and there's going to be a concert in Caracalla, Rome, and it's going to be incredible. They're going to be on the same stage for the first time in history. And he said, ah, don't tell me there are three tenors. There's only one tenor and the other two are hanging on.
Oh, my.
he said, this is never going to happen. This isn't. No, Jerry, no, I'm telling you, this is really going to happen. And, you know, and it happened around an amazing event. It happened around the World Soccer Cup event. And the song and the power of Nessun Dorma, right? No one sleeps. Puccini's, you know, world renowned, the famous, you know, tenor aria of the world was coming out of every possible storefront in all of London, you know, at the time.
Wow.
So nobody really, you know, it was a pop anthem. The point being that, you know, suddenly you have something for everyone to unify around.
Yes.
And I think that's really what the power of music is, right? It arrests your soul.
Well, and again,
right? It really does.
That's right.
You know?
And again, what is so interesting is you have seemed to be able to, with your spirit and your heart and your mind, which is all one, go and do what people said, how on earth did she do that? You know, because you believed in the spirit of you. And then I think that when you're doing that, spirit itself helps to push you along. The momentum of what needs to be corrected, what needs to be brought together, what needs to be identified as the DNA. You know,
you are so smart, Elaine. You are so smart. I mean, I have often been charged with the, how'd you do that? Like, I feel like I'm in the, behind the scenes a lot of times, people going, well, how did that happen? You know, even on the civic side of life, how'd they do that? You know, like, let's find out who did that. How did that happen? You know, what got harnessed here? So I think you're right. I think a lot of it has to do with spirit, because when people identify with spirit, they feel comfortable following it.
Well, you know, I think, Lisa, what most people don't realize is that they are spirit, that you can't identify. It's like, I remember one time I had the opportunity to speak to a large group of people that were all like yogas and meditations, and they were all talking about how spiritual they were. And when it was my turn to get up to the microphone, I said, not a single one of you people are spiritual. because you are spirit. You can't choose to be spiritual. It's like saying, I choose today to be human. No, you are human. So you can't extrapolate that part of yourself. And when you identify that we are spirit in a body taking action, and the action is called life, you know.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. We're just inhabiting these vessels right now.
That's right.
Right?
We're
you can call it a trap, right? Or you can, you know, call it your power, however you choose to see it. But that's exactly right. You are spirit. You can't just say I am spiritual.
Yeah.
I've heard so much of that. It can be.
It makes me laugh.
A little fatiguing. Yeah, it's good. It's good that it makes you laugh, because, you know, I think we could all look toward a number of people who claim to be highly spiritual, and you just go, really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like most people don't realize when they say they're religious, if they look at the definition of religious, it means to be controlled. That's the definition of, it means religare. Religare means to control. So, you know, when you study language,
true.
You understand, oh, okay, do you really want to be controlled, or do you want to contribute?
Right.
So we only have a few minutes left. As always, these shows go by so fast, Lisa. What is it that you see moving forward? As you know, women that are, you know, how do we work together? What can we do together to help to bring this next chapter of humanity?
Forward.
Yeah.
I just love that question, Elaine. I love that question, because it actually plays squarely into the realm of what I've been thinking about here as I move into my next quadrant or next act, if you will. I never know how many acts there are going to be,
right.
But there's several more coming. And I really have been thinking about the need to really harness women of all generations together as a collective.
Absolutely.
Because I think there's so much learning, whether it has to do with the grandmothers or whether it has to do with the youthful spirit. We have so much to teach each other. And I think that the greater good ultimately in this next decade is going to require that coming together.
Absolutely.
I really, right. It's not happening in all quadrants of the world in the same way. I mean, I think there are several cultures that are more embracing of that, but I look toward our culture specifically right now, since I know it best. And I find that the dismissive actions, or if not dismissive, not looking toward women, for instance, of past typical working age, right? 65 plus, 70, 75, 80. These are women that still want to be relevant, that still have real contributions to make, and they're not sure where to plug in on the planet.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's absolutely critical to, you know, really have this binding force. I will tell you that when I was breaking the career of Andrea Bocelli in the United States, the women that came out that really in the pre-internet days, before the internet was really up and running, they were so desirous of coming out for this music like no other group I'd ever seen before. I'm talking 55 plus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was critical to them to plug into this. So I really want to see women of all generations really coming together in this moment to serve a different kind of movement.
Well, let's start working on that together.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, but our time is already out. So I'm going to have you on the show again if you have the time, and I would love to have you on again. Again, this is Elaine Groman. My guest has been Lisa Mercurio. Please look her up. You don't have a website, but you need a website, sweetheart.
We're moving to. I'm creating it now.
Good. Well, when you have that, I'm going to let everybody know about it. So. Thank you so much. This is Elaine Groman for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Please remember, you're here as a human being, embodied by spirit, in this body, to make a difference in this world. Thank you.